to Stones Hill Community Church this morning. Handshakes, fist bumps, and hugs all around. I'm so glad you're here, and breakfast is awesome. As always, our tech team and video team is ready to go, and we welcome you online, those of you who are tuning in as our podritioners. It's always great to welcome you. If you care to, Mark and Amber Archer, who's with us this morning, Mark will be actually speaking in the service, the 10 o'clock service, momentarily this morning. And so if you're out and about, or if you're at home and think you might want to come and hear him live, well, then just come on out just a little early, grab you some breakfast, and settle in. Our sanctuary is set up for tables today, those online watching. So it's a very comfortable environment. God is good, and it is such a joy. About a year ago, so we had kind of a Right to Life weekend, and then we had among those special speakers Mark and Amber Archer, and they just had a smaller segment in that service last time they were with us. Well, we decided then, whenever the future possibilities would present themselves and the open door, we would have them come back, and sure enough, it's worked out for them to come and be with us. So this morning, I just trust that each of you will make sure they have a great Stones Hill Community Church welcome. And so could we just affirm them in Jesus this morning while they come up and talk to us? Yeah. Welcome.
Yay. Yes. Thank you. Well, thank you guys for coming out this morning. One of our favorite things to do is to just share all that the Lord is doing in our lives and has done and continues to do each and every year. Like Pastor Joey said, we were here last year. So my husband and I, we make movies. And in 2017, the Lord called us into filmmaking Mark has a background in it, I should say. But together to do a ministry, a filmmaking ministry, to share stories that just glorify the Lord and to really help make people aware of what's going on in our world and that comes from a biblical worldview. And so it's been really exciting. Pastor Joey talked about we were here for the Pro-Life Sunday, and so we made a movie called Inwood Drive, and it was about how the local abortionist in Fort Wayne, where we live, was shut down. It was a 7-year battle, and the Lord put us right in the middle of what was happening in Fort Wayne. And turns out, after we had the film done the first time, the doctor died, and they found over 2,411 fetal remains at his home in Illinois. And so we went back into production to tell that story, and actually there are DVDs available out there in the lobby of that. And the film is now on Amazon Prime and Salem Now. Is there anything you want to add here as I'm going? Okay. So after we got done with that first film and it got released, we ran into a lot of struggles. And it's just like the Lord. Kind of, we knew when we were making the film, we weren't sure what was actually... there were times when we really struggled with, Lord, is this what you're really calling us to do? And then once the babies were found, it was one of those moments where, yes, we knew exactly what the Lord was calling us to do and why, was so that we could capture this moment in history. And so after we got that released, we were praying, we're asking next steps, you know, Lord, where are we going? What are we doing? And we had watched an episode of Global Grooming on Glenn Beck's Blaze TV. And we prayed about it, and I had posted it on my personal Facebook page. And one of our local representatives said, hey, Amber, you and Mark should come up to this conference that we're having up in Napanee. And I thought, yeah, because how many of you are like, who likes to go to a conference? I don't know. I'm not always a conference person. But so we went, and we knew right away that the Lord was calling us to get into this space of education and what was happening in education with children. And so we were praying about it, and you want to take it over from here? Okay.
So, let's see, I'm going to have to hand it back to you here momentarily. So if for both of us, the subject of pornography was something that was weighing heavily on our hearts. For me, as a man who had lived most of his 20s and early 30s as really a prodigal, I grew up in a church, in a Christian school, good Christian family. I knew all the right answers. Became a Christian when I was a young boy. But I think a combination of things. One was the career that I was pursuing was I wanted to be a movie producer. And so growing up in Fort Wayne, Indiana in the 80s and early 90s, there wasn't a lot of opportunity to learn that. The fundamentals that I learned by being a camera operator for our church's broadcast ministry. And so I learned the basics of filmmaking, but then I quickly outgrew that and I decided I needed to learn more. So pursuing that career led me into working with a lot of people that worked in the film and television industry, and just they're just not a lot of wholesome influences when you're pursuing that. And add to that, I was kind of rebellious and wanted to do my own thing. And so it's taken me a long time to get to this point in my life as a man where I can admit that I had a really severe problem with pornography. And when you're in that industry, it's readily available. It's everywhere. It's kind of part of the DNA of the film and television industry. And so that addiction and my life choices that I had made, I had really made quite a train wreck out of my life, and had come off of a failed marriage. And for a kid who grew up in a good church and a Christian school and Christian home to be faced with that reality that you're kind of a failure. I remember looking at myself in the mirror one morning after being out all night working on a television show in a bar, and I looked at myself and I just thought, what have you become? This is not who you are supposed to be. I was a divorcee. I was drinking heavily. And I was seeking comfort and affirmation in all the wrong places. And one of those wrong places led me to where Amber and I met, which was a gentleman's club, which I frequented. So if you want to know what a porn addict looks like, I was him. I was the guy that would go and hang out in places like that. And to men, they think it's a secret sin. It's not a secret. I mean, it's obvious to everyone. I hate to tell you. I want to turn it back over to my bride.
Because what was I doing in that gentleman's club? Well, I did not grow up in a Christian home, so I did not have a firm foundation or real good boundaries. And for me, in my early 20s, so from 20 to 25, I worked in these clubs. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was in and out of jail a couple of times. I was supposed to do rehab after rehab, and which I ultimately always failed, ended up failing my drug screens, and ended up on house arrest. So the Lord was so gracious, and regardless of what was happening, and even after going through and being on house arrest, and then I went right back into the club environment. And I had moved down to Indianapolis, and I was dancing with one of my girlfriends. And we were out partying one night in 2003. And I woke up, and I was in a hospital, laying on an operating table, and people on both sides of me stitching my tongue back together. They were holding me down. What had happened was I was in a car accident. Fortunately, I was in the back seat. But my friend who was driving, he was going at a high rate of speed down 465, and there was construction, and everything was stopped, but he never stopped. And he was killed instantly. The top of the car, we went up underneath a semi-trailer, and the top of the car came in and crushed my face, and they had to cut me out of the car. And so I will never forget being in that hospital, and I couldn't cry. There was just no emotion. And I remember the nurse left, and I was asking what happened to my friends, because the driver was killed. It was her boyfriend, and she was in the back seat with me. She was taken to another hospital, and she ended up with a broken pinky and a black eye. The nurse left, and I remember getting up and looking at myself in the mirror, and I had all of this glass embedded in my face and big black eyes, and I just remember, this wasn't the first time that I looked at myself in the mirror. When you're a drug addict, you often can find yourself looking at yourself in the mirror and asking, what is this? And I remember getting up and just kind of looking at myself in the mirror with all this glass, and I thought, wow, I did this. These were the choices that I made, and I have nobody to blame for what's happening but myself. Regardless whether you grow up in a Christian home or not, you end up making your own decisions and your own choices in life, and there are consequences. And so I knew, knowing that my life had been spared, there was a part of me that was desperately yearning to find meaning and purpose in my life. And even while this 5-year period, while I was in and out of, you know, different clubs and drugs and alcohol, I would frequently stop at various churches, just seeking some sort of refuge, if you will. And I'll tell you, I have a twin sister, so she would go with me often. And we would sit in the back, and without fail, whatever the pastor was preaching on, we always felt like he was talking directly to us. And we were trembling, and we would have to leave. And so there was a night after, you know, I tried cleaning myself up, and I would get close, but never fully, you know, surrendering my life to Christ. And there was one time I was on my way home from the club, and there was a yard sign. The Lord talks to people in different ways, even through the yard sign. And so here I was going home. It was 5:00 in the morning, and here's a yard sign for a church at the movie theater. And I thought, oh, great. It was a new church that just got planted. I'm going to go, and I'm going to sit at the top, and nobody's going to see me. Nobody's going to know who I am. It's going to be great. Because I'm interested. I want to know, what is a joy? I think that's the thing over and over again. And I hope that you guys are always filled with joy. That is the thing that I noticed, even as an unbeliever, I so desperately wanted the joy that I saw on the faces of everyone who was in church, in all of those churches that I visited. Why were they smiling? Why were they happy? What do they have to praise the Lord about? And so I went to this church at the movie theater, and I sat at the top, but you know what? I kept going. Every Sunday morning, I would go. I'd get off work, go Sunday morning, and I'd sit there and I'd listen. And then there was one Sunday that the greeter, one of the ladies who I saw on a regular basis, this is probably a month after going, and she said, "Hey, Amber, we're going out to lunch. Would you like to come with us?" And I was like, do I really go? They're going to ask me what I do? They're going to ask me about my life? What am I going to tell these people? But I said yes, and I went. And, you know, the most amazing thing happened. Nobody asked me what I did. Nobody asked me about my love. They just wanted me there with them. And I think the love that they showed and they shared with me that day, I remember going back to my apartment, and I just wept. I just handed over. I said, "Lord, please, please, I cannot do this on my own. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to know what these people have." And then it was 3 months later that I met my husband. I think maybe I wish there were different circumstances, but it's just the testimony the Lord's given us. He found himself in the establishment that I worked at. And we talked while he was there and exchanged numbers. And I have to admit, I despised men. Working in that environment, you can become very callous and hardened, and you really don't care. And about 3 weeks went by. And I finally got up the nerve, because there was something about him. When we talked, he wasn't like all of the other men that I had talked to, ever, really. And I just kept thinking, there was something different about him. There was just something different about him. And so I sent him an email, because cell phones weren't really big. And he responded right back. And it was hilarious, because it was Halloween. It was a Halloween night, because I remember I went to a young adults Christian Halloween party, right? All the college kids were there, and this was the Christian group that I started becoming a part of at this church. And so I left there, and I went to work, and then, you know, I just kept thinking. I was like, I should call that guy or email him. So I did. And we met that night and talked for a really long time. And just got to know each other and took things slow. And he proposed 3 months later. So I'll hand it back over to you.
At that phase of my life, I was still exceptionally good at bad decisions. And looking back, that wasn't probably the smartest thing. Hey, I'm going to marry this girl. But the Lord was watching over us both. And not long after that, we found ourselves going to church together. I was avoiding church, had been for years. She wanted to go to church. Incidentally, isn't it ironic that she found herself going to church at a movie theater? And now what we do for a living together. Yes, the Lord has a sense of humor. So we walked into church, and we were going to turn around and leave, and then I remembered that my dad teaches a class. My mom and dad are here with us today, by the way. And I said, oh, we'll go up there, you know, we'll sit in. And so we went in, and we never left. And I don't know, a couple, 2-3 weeks went by, and then there was the deacon of the class, who was praying at the beginning, and he was, as he was praying, he said, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who knows you not, that they will come to you before it's eternally too late. And that was the...
Cause I just got to say, you know, here I am. I want to know. I think I'm a new believer. I've given my heart to the Lord because I want to change my life. And what he was saying, we searched online for different classes that we could attend. And so we found one that was, you know, young adults. We were still young adults. And I just kept thinking, oh, my gosh, they're gonna ask me. They're going to ask me what I do. They're going to ask me about my background. They're going to want to know. I don't want to talk to any of these people. And we literally were through the breezeway, on our way out. I said, I can't do this. I carried... for such an incredibly long time, more than I should have. So much shame and guilt and doubt because of the choices that I had made in my past. And how could the Lord ever use me, of all people? How could the Lord ever set me free? And I got to tell you, it was when I finally got over that, it was such a freeing experience. But going to his mom and dad's class, it was even better. These are older, wiser, loving, accepting, and really they walked with us. They still do to this day. And it's just been an incredible phase to grow in God's grace with seasoned believers and just let them love you. Because I think that's what I desperately needed. I desperately needed somebody to love me for who I was. And the Lord is still growing me into who I'm supposed to become. And just like he's growing every one of you into who you're supposed to become. and I'll get back to him.
So within about a week of that first class visit, and whether she had come to the Lord prior to that or not, I just remember that she was still having doubts. And so we went to visit with my mom and dad, and they shared the gospel with her and asked her if she wanted to come to the Lord, and she wasn't quite ready, so we went home, she and I together, and we sat in the basement, and then we ended up praying together, and if it wasn't real before, it was definitely real then. And I remember, as she was praying, I felt this, like this heat, kind of just like I'm getting very hot. I feel very sweaty, right? It was like this light shining down from the Lord. Now, bear in mind, I had already proposed to her, and we were living together. We shouldn't have been, but and then she accepted the Lord, and then I could sense the Lord saying, "Okay, Mark, I've given you a believing wife. Now we're going to work on you." And that began the process of the Lord taking me to the woodshed for a while. And that's a long story that we don't have time for this morning, but eventually led us to, we quickly then got our marriage taken care of and got ourselves legal. The Lord has allowed us to work together in the industry that I'm in together, and then we started our ministry together back in 2017, and it has been a wild adventure the whole way, but especially doing our work 100% for the Lord. Walk of faith takes on a new meaning when you are pushing the boundaries of what is acceptable to a culture in decline. If you want to make a name for yourself in the film industry, you don't start off by making a movie about an abortionist. Doesn't make any sense. You certainly don't follow that up with a movie about the pornography in the schools. doesn't earn you a lot of popularity points. We have been deplatformed by Amazon, by Vimeo. We've been targeted by the Washington Post. The left has come at us swinging. We've had people protest at screenings of our films. We have seen our finances go up and down and all around because being on this journey, the Lord doesn't always promise that it's going to be easy, right? Being on the front lines is not easy, but the Lord is always taking care of us. How much time we got here? Okay. 15 minutes. No, I got 5 minutes. Yeah, your clock is wrong. Okay. All right, so I'll finish up with this one story to tell you about how faithful the Lord is. When we were working on Inwood Drive, our first film, and it was a new ministry, and so we had our commercial production side of things where we did a lot of corporate video. We did a lot of work for a lot of nonprofits, producing marketing videos, things like that. And so we were basically doing our regular work and then using that to pay for making the film. And we were having real doubts as to whether or not we were on the right path with starting this ministry, because it seemed like no one would help us. I mean, a few people would. They saw our vision. But there were delays in the process because we got the film done once and we showed it to everybody. And then George Klopfer, the abortionist, died. Then they found the babies in his garage. And it was another 6 months for us to go back into production because we knew we had to include that in the film. And in the meantime, guess what? We're broke. I mean, we are broke. We're not only broke, we're in debt. And we were really struggling, wondering if this was the right thing. And so we went out one afternoon. We took our girls out, and we went to get ice cream. You want to finish that?
Sure. Too much emotion because it's real and it's raw. Because all these films, we start with $0. It's an act of faith unto the Lord. It's like the Lord's sending out his disciples, 2 by 2, take nothing with you, and the Lord's going to provide. So we took our girls out, and when we got home, there was a FedEx envelope on our doorstep. And we went, we picked it up, and we opened it, and inside there was a check for $20,000. And we went, I guess we're supposed to be doing this. We'll keep going. We said, thank you, Lord. And, you know, it was just sort of those affirmations along the way. And he continues to do that with our ministry today. And we are just blown away at the Lord's faithfulness of what he does. When we released The Mind Polluters, we had zero marketing dollars. And the only thing we kept hearing was take it to the people. So we took it to the people and let the people use it for whatever they needed. It's sharing the gospel. It's exposing what's happening in schools. And the Lord is just so awesome. It's been translated into Spanish. There was a Christian businessman in Texas who actually helped us and paid for the Spanish translation. And the Lord has taken that into 145 different countries. And we have just seen him work in mighty ways using these films that we're making unto him. And so we even have requests for an Italian translation, and people call and email us all the time, and pastors call and they say thank you for starting the conversation. Thank you for exposing this. More people need to understand what's happening because our kids are the target of these awful things. And as someone who came out of sort of that background, I know how damaging it can be. And I can see why the Lord continues to use Mark and I, because we can have these hard conversations. We've already been through a lot of it and found the grace and peace and the victory in Christ.
And as she said, because we both experienced that world in one form or another, and living a lot of my life as a compromised man and being called out of that to live for the Lord and to do my work for the Lord, when I talk about this, and it took a long time before I could stand before anyone and admit how I used to be. And it's only when you realize, when the Lord takes you on that journey of faith and he's purging you of your baggage. Before we came up, I was talking to Pastor Joey. I spent some time doing search and rescue work years ago, and I'll talk a little bit about that in the service. And I was looking for pictures, and I found a picture of me with all of my gear on, and I said, the funny thing about this story is that everyone on my team is laughing at me because I had all of my gear on and I'm trying to go through this very narrow gate and I couldn't get through because I'm too wide because I've got all this stuff on. And I had to take everything off to get through. And I said, isn't that such a picture of salvation? The narrow gate requires you to shed those burdens. The Lord says, now you got to take that off, take that off, take that off. Leave those burdens behind. Right? There's plenty of room for your burdens on the wide path, but not through the narrow gate. And so I'm just grateful to be here with you today. We both are. And grateful for your church. We feel real kinship here. We have dedicated ourselves in our ministry to making films to speak to the church. Because if the church doesn't engage, none of these problems in our world are going to be solved.
And I'll just say one last thing. I heard a great message the other day, and I think it's so true. You may not have a testimony like Mark and I's, and you're not supposed to. Don't go chasing a testimony, because the Lord tells us that there will be trials and tribulations. If you name the name of Christ, there will be hard times for you. So I just want to encourage everybody, thank you so much for having us, Pastor Joey and the church. It's a blessing to be here. And so we're going to hand it back over to you because I see our time is up. Okay. Oh, he has questions.
Yeah, so we just so love and appreciate both of you, and I love a courageous, bold, and clear voice that speaks into the messiness of culture and where we are. So I just want to affirm who you are in Christ, and we are behind you. Thanks for being to engage and to get some traction with insight and perception in a time like this. What I sense about you both is that underneath all of this, the ministry, the documentary production, you love children. You have a love for children and family, and really that comes through, and there's a sense in which God's using you not only to love them, but to protect them, because it is really interesting when we look at the national, even global trends, what's being done politically, in the entertainment world, educationally, what's being done to undermine the worth and value of children. And so, and the other theme I see so clearly in your lives is that, you know, we're made in the image of God, and we really hammer that here, that we have worth in Him, that we are also depraved, that we're broken, that but that God fixes through Christ. And we can't do it in our own strength, but He fixes us. And so that's the theme. Fix what's broken. Let's engage and let's fix what's broken. So I appreciate the table out here. What would you like them to do at the table today?
Oh, we have DVDs of our current films available. We're about 3 months away from releasing or having our next one done. It's called Dysphoria. It's all about the transgender movement. So we're excited to see what the Lord's going to do with that one. But if you want, the DVDs are available for a donation of any amount. If you want to help support our ministry, they're giving envelopes out there as well.
And so also, just as they were sharing, I've just reminded of the pre-conversation that we had. Whatever it is that you may feel is broken in your life, whatever you feel like needs fixing, okay, whatever your greatest hurt, hang up, foible, or even sin is, it's not what you think it is. You think that's my problem, that's my problem, that's my problem. It's not. Your biggest, my biggest problem, our biggest problem is believing that God can give me a new identity, that He can change me, that He can stamp me as His own, that He speaks worth and value and identity in me and over me. And it's not my performance, your opinion equals my self-worth. It's His evaluation, identity that He's spoken into my life. It's His performance that my self-worth comes and my value comes. So you remember that today. Let Him stamp you with a new name. Let's pray together, and then we're going to release you momentarily for your Answers in Genesis classes, all right? And then we're going to give Mark and Amber a break, and they'll be back to speak to us at 10 o'clock this morning. So let's pray together. So, Father, thank You so much for this day, and thank You for just a wonderful testimony of Your grace. And I just applaud Mark and Amber today. Thank You for their family that's here with them to support them. Thank You for their lovely children. We just thank You for all that they're about today. And boy, we want to be an ally. We want to be a co-partner and a co-laborer with couples like this who are engaging, who are endeavoring to fix what's broken, who are endeavoring to rewrite the narrative of what a believer looks like in an age where we live the marginalized life and we remain silent so many times. And so, Lord, I pray that a biblical worldview would get lived out as this couple's living it out. And so we just pray for them, give them a fresh infusion of Your Spirit. Whatever resources are needed in their life financially or spiritually or otherwise, that You would release those resources. And we ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, You would release that into their life at this time. Lord, do it. And may You guide them in Your love and Your grace such that our lives could be restored. We could see the meaning of life and the beauty of Jesus and the joy of life and living and family as we've heard about today. Oh, that we would be filled with a fresh feeling of Your joy and Your liberty and Your grace. And God, whatever baggage we're trying to walk the narrow way with, whatever it is, just would You help us, even though we're so afraid of trying to cope without it. Today, I'm sensing an application point at the very get-go here today. We're carrying some baggage. We need to drop it so we can walk freely in you and in Christ. So whatever the baggage is, would you just do your work, begin to relax the grip on these things that we hold so dear to cope and deal with life and these complex coping mechanisms and self-protective strategies that we've leaned on for so many years. We would just stand before you in freedom in Jesus. Thank you so much for Mark and Amber helping bring us back to that reality and that beauty, that next step in our walk with Christ. Thank you in your name. Amen. Let's give them a hand again. Yes. Yes. God is good. So you're dismissed, and we'll see you back here at 10 o'clock, okay?